healing. No incurable disease is inside the mind of God. Every mess that's going on in your family, inside the mind of God, is a one sentence statement that will correct the whole mess. But we've got to make sure we don't get inside each other's mind at church. We need to get inside, and God need to get in our mind. We need to get in his mind. God need to get in our spirit. We need to get in God's spirit. Now, Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and life, right? When a setting come, a ministry gift come, and a body, a part of the body of Christ come together, it is supposed to be in a duration of time in a setting that spirit begin to talk to spirit. If that don't happen, we never emerge. We just had an emotion. And this is where tradition took over. This is where feeling took over. And this is where we became normal just like everybody else. We are not normal. We're kingdom children. We have kingdom authority, kingdom power, kingdom availability. But it's spirit on spirit. Now, you are born again. Most of y'all in here are born again on the sound of my voice. You may not have been, your spirit may have not been trained to this dimension. But as an apostle, I want to straighten out some doctrine in the church. And I want to bring back, as the Spirit helped me, the full-breasted meaning of some things we've been partaking of, but not fully partaking. Are you following me? Are you following me? Now, let me tell you how I'm going to do this. Let me tell you how I'm going to do this. I sense the Spirit of God. You listening, right? Let me tell you how I'm going to do this. You know, we know God by his ability. We know he can do anything. We know God willing for us to be blessed. But we have not known him enough as the merciful, compassionate God. See, his compassion and his mercy is greater than his ability. You have to be aware of the fact, as we serve communion this morning, that Jesus loved me. And that Jesus paid for me to be free of all of the works of the enemy. You have to know that. You have to know, in spite of your mistake, in spite of your weaknesses, in spite of your falling and getting up, you have to know that Jesus loved me and he wanted me to have the best. No incurable disease can stand up to communion. Nothing. There's nothing powerful enough. Because see, when you say communion, you're saying Christ. You're saying cross. You're saying finish. It is finished. It is complete. It's over. I've done this for you. It's already done. Are y'all listening to me? It's a carried out, carried on victory. See, the victory already been carried out. All you're doing is carrying it on. Connected to the carry out. This table you coming to today is the same table that the psalmist talk about in the 23rd Psalm. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemy. He anoint my head with all my cup runneth over. The table is the cross and Jesus is being served. To bring a covenant awareness, a kingdom presentation to you, that you don't have to be sick no more. You don't have to be broke no more, and you're not going to hell. All of the fruit of the Spirit comes through communion. Joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, temperance. These are all supernatural fruits. All of the seeing and knowing that you need in your life is in the spirit realm. And when you partake this communion, it's saying that you can see that. You can see your way out of this. You can know your way out of this. It's supernatural. Now, I realize, my brothers and sisters, thank God for people who here know how to pray. I realize that this dimension is up against a lot of tradition and a lot of religion and a lot of things. You have to stand up against to go to this dimension, but you have to go to it. That God people too sick, too broke, and too scary. The Bible says we should be full of what? Confidence. Courage. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. You're going to have to understand, outside the doctrine of the doctrine of the cross made the new birth possible. And communion is an ongoing partaking of the cross. See, when we take communion, we're partaking of the revelation of Jesus dying. And you can't talk about the cross without talking about the burial. You can't talk about the cross without talking about, you know, Philippians 3:10 said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. You can't know without knowing the cross. You have to know significantly through the Spirit what happened at the cross. What happened at the cross? What happened? What transpired? Why do the Lord want me to show his death till he come? Why that voice say that? And so these are the type of things we'll be dealing with this morning. But I want you to pay attention. And then another thing is very important in the spirit world is that you respond. See, yielding and responding mean the same thing. If you don't respond, it means you're not listening. Because if the Lord says something, somebody should say amen. That's a response. Glory to God. That's a response. I'm not talking about something out of the flesh. I'm talking about you hearing God's voice and saying, thank you, Jesus. I sure needed to know that. I sure needed to understand that, Lord. You see, it's the spirit world is a then we're going to open the scripture and go to work. The spirit world is a peculiar world. That's why God said we're peculiar people. Royal priesthood. You remember he said that? Think about emotion emerging. You want to go in the spirit. I mean, this is not mystical. It's a mystery. But you have the spirit of God. But to a large degree, now don't cut me now. To a large degree, you haven't been using it. Because the church crowned us with so much stuff. Not the church itself, but church leaders have crowned us with so much stuff that we never got to God, really. Or God never can get to us when we need him. Are you following? We're so... Can I talk to you? The Holy Spirit going to open the scripture real clear today. And I'll be the hooping, hollering, and running. Real clear. And he's going to speak to you. And he's going to show you how to take care of everything. What a bargain. What a bargain. I said, what a bargain. He's going to show you everything. See, it's very simple. The scriptures open up. When the scriptures open up, flesh cannot attest to the fact of what it's saying. But you have a spirit. How many of y'all born again? How many of y'all full of the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues? Oh, Lord Jesus, we should go to heaven 3 or 4 times this morning, pick up some stuff and come back down here and talk a little while, go back again. That's our abilities. No, Paul left. Paul left organized religion, went 14 years in the desert. Sometimes you can hear God better when you get out of organized religion. Because God will give you revelation, you know what I'm saying? Now, my aim is, I don't want to talk about nobody today but Jesus. So we can get this thing lined up so the evil spirit can't bump us. Oh, I feel anointed, boy. My God. And that the Holy Spirit can have free course in this teaching. You may be seated. Get your Bibles. And I want to start at a scripture. In 1 Corinthians 11, where Paul had the revelation, given us a revelation of communion and a revelation of that the cross and communion is connected. Now, when I say cross, I'm not talking about the wooden beam. I'm talking about the finished work of Christ, what he did on the cross. He paid for everything, right? I'm going to read a harsh scripture first. It's harsh to you because we read it in the flesh so many times, and it just scared the hell out of you. Yeah, it does. The scripture, it does. I'm not trying to cuss. I'm just telling you, the scripture scared the hell out of you because you don't know what, if you don't know what to do with it, and you see it all around you. We see weaknesses and sicknesses, sickness all around us. We see people dying prematurely all around us, and A1 Christian. I was going to preach this scripture at first, but the Lord said, no, don't hit them scripture with this scripture at first because it's going to cause them to drop back into an old setting that I don't want them in. But I feel led by the Lord to read it this morning based on the principles of two other scriptures. Then 1 Corinthians, and we'll get to our text. Our text is in the 26th verse. You see that? Yes, sir. That's our text. We'll get to it. Let me read our text, 26th verse. Because we're talking about communion. For as often as you eat this bread, you with me? Huh? And drink this cup. Now that bread is talking about Jesus' body. The cup is talking about his blood. But then it says at the end of this verse, you do show the Lord death till he comes. Why you want to show it? Why you want to show the Lord death? Because the Lord death is your provision for everything this book says. Is yours. Every promise is in the Lord's death. So you want to show it. You want to show it first of all to yourself. And you want to make sure Satan see it. That you know that you are more than a conqueror. And that God has spoiled principality and power, made a show of them openly. That you can live a triumphant life in Christ. But you can't do that unless you know how to show it. See? You have to have revelation, mysteries, and secrets in your spirit flowing to show it that I don't have to take this. I don't have to go through this. I don't have to lose this. I can win every time. But eyes have not seen that. No ears heard. Neither enter into the heart of man to see the thing that God had prepared for us in the spirit realm. And then we bring it over into the physical and the material realm. Because we know secrets. We know mysteries. We know, listen to me now. We know another realm. R-E-L-M-N, that's the way you spell it? R-E-L what? R-E-A-L-M. We know, get that down, realm. See, the realm is the realm you in. Determine the revelation you're going to have. If you're in the wrong realm, when I read this scripture, you're going to get afraid. But if you're in the right realm, you recognize that the Lord is about to teach me something that I can have supernaturally. Now, to a large degree, communion has been natural in the body of Christ. It's a natural thing we do. We come and take the bread, drink the cup, sing a certain song, oh the blood. But it actually supposed to be and will be in this house. Every time we do it, a supernatural move. If Satan don't have a revelation of no other doctrine, he has a revelation of communion. He recognized that communion is his defeat. He recognized if a person understand that cross and understand communion, he recognized that person is out of his reach permanently. He can attack, but he can't attract that person to sin. Wow, that person gonna live a sanctified life. Boy, when you know what you got, you just know what you got. So, we read in the 26th verse, as often as you eat this bread, and drink this cup, we got to understand this. You do show the Lord death till he come. In eating the bread and drinking the cup has something to do of showing the Lord death, number one, right now, until he come later on. Both have a part. Our perpetual victory. That's ongoing. Everlasting victory is showing the finished work of Christ on the cross, what it meant. That he paid for it all.
That's right.
We have to hold fast to that. And that would keep you in perpetual victory. There's no other power that can supersede that revelation.
Right.
A person who knows how to apply Jesus' body and blood to their life is an unstoppable, unconquerable person. That's why you won't show it now until he comes. See, but he wants you to show it now. Show it now means that I have eternal life and I have eternal victory even while I'm in this body. Everybody say, show his death. All right, so now that's what we're going to do. We're going to be showing his death. We partake of this bread. See now, wait a minute. Another realm. Faith. Not just facts. It's a fact that every one of us is going to take the bread. We're going to take the cup. That's a fact. We can see that. But no, it's another realm. To see it, it's in the spirit. To see communion. Say it.
It's another realm.
And I have to see it with another set of eyes. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
That is going to hurt your brain. This is going to hurt your brain because your brain thinks it can keep up. But in any service, your brain is going to be dropped off. We're going to leave it. Philip's wife, Wilma, when they eat lunch, eat dinner on Sunday, her children was on the phone so much, texting under the phone. She bought what you call a phone lockup box. She bought me one too. And so when everybody sat at the table, put all the phones in the box, lock it, let's eat. Well, that's what we're going to do with your brain. I got a brand box. We're going to put your brand in there and lock it up so you can go in your spirit. All right, let's go. Y'all need to give me a little extra time because I didn't have a lot of singing. Now don't panic, because we're about to see the body of Christ in the wrong place. Wow. I never heard that, boy. We're about to see the body of Christ in the wrong place because of a lack of understanding and seeing and knowing what they all have the capability of seeing and knowing. In the mind of God, the mysteries and the secrets and the revelation of who I am in Christ. What I say, who I am in who?
Christ.
Right. Here's this verse, so don't let it throw you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30. If some of y'all want to argue with that, stand up on your feet and let's argue. And I can tell you 10 to 1 on your argument that the body of Christ is living in this verse. Because of a lack of knowledge of communion, of the cross. The body of Christ is loaded with scriptures. We got walking Bibles up in here. And it's in the body of Christ at large. But the scriptures without a spiritual understanding is invalidated by the devil. The devil don't respect nothing but revelation. What? I said the devil does not respect anything but revelation. So I have to bring this church, your church, you have to come to a revelation. Yes, it's a process sometimes. Yes, it's a waiting period sometimes. I understand that. But if you understand you're going somewhere, it's a waiting period when you're traveling too. You leave, you're going to California now at 2 o'clock. You ain't going to be in no California at 2:30. But you know you're on that plane. You're going to California. I hope you ain't driving. You know it. You're on that plane. You're headed to California. You're going to be a long time. You headed to California. You don't tell a plane, stop here. Y'all should have been to California. Stop. Let me off. No, you sit there. and you just be quiet and quiet. Then you go, and the plane go through a little turbulence. You ever, now some of y'all ain't never flew in a plane. It bounced, you know, and we hit the cloud. You know what I'm saying? This plane, let me off here, this bounce. See, life is a bounce sometimes. But what you have to know is, I'm going to get there. Because what I'm traveling, beside the jet, what I'm traveling faith, revelation, knowledge, and promises of God. I'm going to get there. Even though my body might not feel good right now, even though things don't seem like they're working out right now, but I'm on my way to California. How many are on your way somewhere? Yes. Pastor wants you to understand, you're going to get there. For this cause, ignorance. Lack of understanding. For this cause, many are weak. And you know, I like to play with weak. Weak, adulterous, liars in the church. I got a whole lot of weakness, you know. Weak, you know. Weak women, weak men. They're weak. You're weak. They're weak because they don't have a revelation of who they really are. So they fall for somebody else's trip. And you know, and weak mean that you don't have the strength. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and sickly. Oh Jesus. Including me. I had so many things attack my body. Sickness. But we should get well. Amen. 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 Think about how many sick people got in the body of Christ. Think how many pills we got up here this morning. I mean, I'm just being factual. Is this okay? It's okay. Hey, look at this way. It's okay. But I'm just, we got to deal with the truth.
That's real, Dad.
You better take that pill until you get some more revelation. Ask Doc. but I'm saying it shouldn't be. All right, I got a way to put it. You ready? It wasn't God's original plan when he gave his son. We left just like, men want divorce. It was not God's original plan. But you're so hard-hearted, God said, just go ahead and give him a divorce. But my original plan was to death do your part. Sickly. And now, if you don't understand that word sleep, that word means you died early. Now, don't raise your hand now. How many of y'all want to die early? Nobody in their right mind. You in a real miserable life. I don't know. Black folks didn't used to commit suicide. Like, you couldn't get no black man to talking about no sue what? Y'all done got some more than that black folk killing themselves. You couldn't get a black man. Black man come out of slavery, man. Let me have a little more life, Lord. Proverbs 26, verse 2. Proverbs 26, verse 2, B part. Deal with three scriptures, then I'm going to get back to my man trail this morning. We started off last Sunday being partakers of the grace of communion properly. Being partakers of the grace or the favor of communion properly. That's what we started off with last Sunday. So I'll keep going. I'll do part two. All right. Now, turn to Proverbs. I got two other scriptures I got to show you. And you got to listen and you got to be in the spirit. We're not going for your emotion this morning. We're going for you to understand why you should have victory in every area of your life. What is it? The cross make that possible. So you see how Satan weaved the cross out of our teaching? Huh? So you know he couldn't corrupt the cross, so what he did is he tried to take it out so you won't preach it and have people have the real full understanding of it, because he know that's his defeat. So he have us preach about confession, preach about faith, preach about all these money, preach about wealth, preach about prosperity, preach about all this stuff and leave the cross out. Because the cross is his whipping post. Notice here in Proverbs 26, 2, the B part. So the curse, what? Causeless. I can't hear you.
Causeless.
Causeless. Just causeless. Causeless. What is the curse? Sickness, disease, second death, and poverty. Right? Three things. For the curse causeless should not come. So what that mean? It has to have a cause. Right? I'm telling you, the biggest cause in the body of Christ for us living under the curse is ignorance. Now, don't mean you're an ignorant person. It means you're ignorant of spiritual things. You might be highly intellectual and a whiz on natural things, but can't go there. You got to switch system. You got to switch dimension. You got to switch realm. And get over in the spirit realm where the Holy Spirit can talk to you and strengthen you and take you through passage that nobody else can go. So the curse causeless should not come. Right? Now let's look at another, one other scripture. Three scriptures. I might go home over and over. Christ, now Galatians 3:13. I mean, it's so simple. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. But if we don't understand the redemption, if we don't understand the blood, if we don't understand the cross, if we don't understand the revelation of the spirit realm, we're going to be just like a natural man. The natural man cannot understand nor receive the things of God. The things of God is received through a man who knows he has a supernatural spirit and has the ability for his spirit to be in charge of his body, of his mind, and of every situation that come in his life. They call it anointing. See, they call it anointing. Jesus called it, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to deal with some things. Okay? Now, look at Galatians 3:13. Christ, now that's, when you see that, cross. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, right? For it's written, what's written now? Curses. What tree? That's it. That's the cross. You see, and the curse, see, you can't, I said it last Sunday, listen to me, not even the devil, you can't curse whom the Lord hath blessed. Unless you catch them on the blind side. Now the minister gifts supposed to equip, the pastor supposed to equip the sheep to know the wolf. And the pastor's supposed to, when the sheep come before the pastor's supposed to protect the sheep by revelation knowledge. See, my protection to you is not coming to your house every day. The protection is when I'm up here. Things need to be coming out of my spirit, out of that anointed gift that God gave me, into your spirit, that you'll know how to handle a Tuesday by yourself. Because perhaps if I have to take care of all of y'all, if something going on at Bob's house, something going on at Roy's house, I happen to be at Bob's house and Roy needs me right now, I won't be there. So when the pastor equipped the saint, he equipped them to fight for themselves spiritually with the benefits of the cross, the benefit of Christ, and the benefits of the blood. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. You have to know that personally. Not collectively. You have to know that personally. This is personal. Communion is personal. Even though we take it together as brothers and sisters, but when you come to this table today, it's a personal trip for you. It's a personal trip for you to receive your healing. It's a personal trip for you to receive your strength. It's a personal trip recognizing and reminding yourself, I'm not dying, I have eternal life. I'm not dying early physically either. So Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Now, let's go back to 1 Corinthians. Let me see what I can do this. Oh, goodness. Let's see who I want to use this morning. Can you read? Now, if you don't know, if I call you, you can't read too good, just tell me. Just bow your head. How many of y'all got your Bible? Now nobody ain't got no Bible. No. Lord have mercy. I come here, this man gonna call on somebody this morning. So you the preacher, you do the preaching. I need three volunteers right quick. Can read. Come on, son. Come on, son. Your twins come. That's three, that's good enough. And you come, son. I want you to bring your Bible now. What y'all got, them phone? Line up. You go over there. You stay right here, son. You go over there. Turn around. Face the people. Back up. And I want y'all to turn with them when I tell them turn, because when you see this, it's going to clarify some things. Exodus 16, son. Verse 4 and 5. And they give you a Bible without an index in it. You're in trouble, boy. Exodus, the second book, I believe. I don't know. John 6. John chapter 6, verse 9. John 6:35. I'm going to let y'all read it. I'm going to explain it before you read it. He's going to be dealing with the manna that the children of Israel received in the wilderness. It was supernatural bread that God fed them with from heaven. God is a supernatural God. Yes, he can do supernatural things for you. You know that? Yes. I don't care what you're dealing with today. Let me talk to your person now, what you're dealing with today. Because you're here, God wants to do something supernatural for you. What? What? Tell the person next to you, God, the man of God said, God wants to do something supernatural for you. Tell him. Now, I want you to ask him a question. Will you let him? All right, the next thing, tell him, listen. Tell him he's about to do it. All right, now this is supernatural bread. Read, son, voice four. Read. 16 and 4.
Check. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them, whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily.
All right, now, this is supernatural bread, but this is not the real bread. Come on, Dad. But I know it was time that Carol and I was in financial problem. That's good, Dad. Something happened. I know God did something for us. I mean, I don't know if none of y'all might not have been in bad condition, but I don't know how we got out. God brought, anybody else know what I'm talking about? He brought us out supernatural. So I know he's a supernatural God. And so that's supernatural bread, but it's still not the bread that we're talking about. So here, now we're going to go to what you call miracle bread. That's the manna. This is miracle bread. Go ahead.
There's a lad here who has five barley loaves and two small fish. But what are they among so many? Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted.
Now that's two miracles. Yeah, bread come flying out the sky. Somebody said it was like waffles. And he put it out in the wilderness. 3 million people was able to eat from that bread. That's supernatural, isn't it? Now, here we got 5,000 people in this young man here. 5,000 people. And you know, he probably had more than that because he probably had wives and children. All they got is five loaves of bread, right? And two small fish. And Jesus took it in hand and multiplied. That's a miracle, isn't it? And told him, shut down. Everybody, ate, and I think it had, what, 13, 12 baskets left over. That's a miracle, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Well, then I'll show me this. Now, here's this third reason.
And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst.
Now we got a dilemma. I could identify with that bread, that manna there.
Come on, this is good. This is good. This is good.
But then Jesus made this statement. Look in Matthew 4:4. What is he talking about? Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is a revelation. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is in the spirit realm. So we got this bread. It's supernatural bread, right? Got it bread, and it's for the physical body. These two breads for the physical body. But Jesus is talking about another type of bread. Matter of fact, he says, I am the bread of life. Religious folks were there. They're real religious. They were hooked on the law. And it says, how can this man be the bread of life? Our Father give us bread in the wilderness. Yeah. Well, your Father trying to give you another kind of bread, but it's in the spirit realm. Yeah. See? So you have to understand, here, we're not talking about physical. Here, communion. That's what he's talking about, communion. Read it again.
And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life.
What verse you in?
Verse 35.
6:35. You there?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, cousin. We're going to work in that sixth chapter a few minutes. I'm going to go get my Bible. All right. Go on. Let's read. Go ahead and read some.
And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger.
Hold up. I am the bread of life. He didn't say, I'm the bread of physical sustaining you. He said, I am the bread of life. Right?
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Go ahead, read this one all over again.
And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst.
Now there's a secret in this verse. There's a secret. This is believing bread.
Amen.
The way you eat this bread is believe.
Hallelujah.
Lord. See, this you eat this bread by believing.
Hallelujah.
See, you eat this bread by having faith. This bread is not wholesome bread. It's not in a law. This bread is spiritual. You eat this bread by your faith. What you believe. You're not going to be able to see this bread or eat this bread unless you become a spirit being and function in your spirit.
Hallelujah.
So the same problem here, these religious folks with him began to argue in the physical because they couldn't see in the spirit. And the reason many are weakly and sick among us and die prematurely is because we're looking in the wrong realm for our victories.
Amen.
We're looking in churchianity, charismatic movement, instead of Christ and the cross.
Amen. Amen.
Charismatic tried to take place of the cross. Confession tried to take place of the cross. So you see, the only way you can eat communion properly is by believing.
Amen.
The physical act is not going to do nothing for you. Walk up here and take this stuff all day long. You can just stay here and eat until you got to call a doctor for you. Just eat, eat. It's not going to do nothing for you, but when you come, you got to believe.
Amen.
That this doctrine represents what Jesus did for me. And right here, right now, is my victory. And I'm showing the Lord death till he comes. I'm showing that I'm already paid for. My healing already paid for. My eternal life already paid for. All my victories already paid for. And I'm reminding myself, I'm reminding the devil, and I'm reminding this whole world that this world is not my home. Now let's, all right, gentlemen, thank you. Now let me go through my Bible a little bit. Let me get my Bible. Turn to 6th chapter of John. Let me get my Bible. 6th chapter of John. He said, let me get old Bessie. Just a few minutes. Let me go through John 6 with you. Because in John is a bread chapter. You got all three of those breads in there. You got where Jesus committed that miracle, and he's working them up to something. So you got to work them up. So they saw, they followed him because they saw that all them loaves multiplied in hand. I'd make you follow him, won't you? Them loaves, and people doing that now, they're going behind Jesus for material things. Now they think, some of them think that's what I'm doing, but they got another thought. No, I love the Lord, man. I don't have to have nothing. Just give me Jesus naked. That's all I need. See? And you have to understand that you better try to read a place motive. You better try to get a revelation to know what's going on. Material couldn't satisfy me. And I got some of the best, but it don't satisfy me. So you got three stages of bread here. You got in the sixth chapter, you got the manna, you got the miracle bread, and then you got Jesus presented himself as the bread of life. And you know something? Yeah, I hear the Holy Spirit. See them first two bread? No believing was done for it. He just fed them. The other one, they ain't know what was going on. Jesus just did it. But this one, in order to push the transfer switch and go in the spirit realm and see communion as the cross. See communion as Jesus dying. See communion as God's way of paying for everything for me as his child. I got a statement here. I must give now. This is a statement I want to give you. Let's see. You can't take. Without the Holy Spirit help, you will never take communion. You're just going to take bread and some juice. Without the Holy Spirit help, you will never take communion. Matter of fact, a whole lot of people in the body of Christ never took communion. That's why they're sick. That's why we got a lot of good soldiers in the grave now. They went through the act, but they never took communion. You can't take communion spiritually ignorant of what it means. Every child of God in here under the sound of my voice, you have the capability of understanding what communion means. What the Lord's table means. It shows the final doctrine. Jesus Christ dying on the cross is the final doctrine. There is no other doctrine. It's greater than the three boys in the fire. It's greater than Daniel in the lion den. It's greater than the Red Sea being opened. This is the final doctrine. Jesus Christ supersedes every miracle. Jesus dying on the cross and going to the grave 3 days and getting up supersede every miracle that ever took place. It's God's final lesson. God said, if this don't get it, it can't be gotten. It's the meaning of the New Testament. It's the meaning of the new covenant. And communion and the cross and Christ run together. You can't talk about one without talking about the other one. So you can say when you come up here today, I'm taking Christ. I'm taking my covenant rights. I'm taking my communion. I'm taking up my cross. And what it mean when he said take up your cross, he mean taking up your benefits, taking up your inheritance. When you come to this table, or when you come to these men standing here today, when you come, you coming to take your benefits. To take your Christ for his word. To take the only mean of not ever being defeated. When you come up here today, you're going to slap every problem you got square in the face and tell you have no right to hold me down. Because when you take communion, you're taking the resurrection. When you take communion, you are rising from everything that's trying to bury you. Come on, talk to me. Everything that's working against you, when you take communion by faith, by the understanding that the Holy Spirit has given us today into another dimension, when you take communion, you're saying to everything else, you cannot hold me down because I'm coming up, because I'm taking my resurrection today. You're telling sickness, I've been in this grave long enough. The grave of sickness. You tell it, when I take this communion, I know it's a resurrection move, and I know I'm coming up out of this sickness. I'm going to have a resurrection this morning. I'm coming out of this lack and fighting, always fighting from paycheck to paycheck. This stuff is over. I'm redeemed from poverty and lack. And I'm going to this table today. I'm going to take this cup. And I'm going to drink Jesus' blood. And I'm going to eat his body. And I'm going to remind myself I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed from Satan and all demonical power. My. See, dimension, rim. Switch. See. A physical act with a spiritual transaction. Got it, Jimmy? A physical act. We're going to go through a physical act, but we have to know we're going through a spiritual transaction. Come on, respond. Respond. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now I know I'm going to have to duck some rocks right now. But some of y'all are going to take communion for the first time in your life this morning. If you haven't been taught enough to know nothing about it, you're taking it. You know the truth? I've been preaching for 40 years, you know. I'm going to take it in a different light today. You know, if I'm taking it in a different light, you know, I've been studying every day. So some of y'all real deep say, he ain't talking to me. I don't know. You still got sickness in your body? Because if you really take communion, you can't be sick. I know. These are hard sayings. In the natural, they're hard saying, but not in the spirit. So I'm going to keep on teaching you till you're not sick. We'll teach on communion until Christ come. And I'm not talking about the second coming either. I'm talking about just come. To take his right position in your life. Y'all know something wrong. Y'all know something wrong with the body of Christ. Something wrong with the body of Christ. I don't care how great the teachers are. Most churches full of sick folk. Full of broke folk. Full of mad folk. Just mad. Can't stand pressure for 3 minutes. They're broke. Who you talking to me? Ain't no fruit nowhere. No long suffering, meekness, temperance, or nothing. Just pull a wig off and let's go for it. Get right back in the flesh. You lose so much when you go back in the flesh, too. You know. Yeah, y'all shaking your head like y'all know what I'm talking about. What I say I was going to show you now? Sit down. I didn't say I was going to show you nothing. Sit down. Turn to John chapter 6 for a few minutes. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now I'm not talking about in the Bible. Let me say this. Don't you think everybody getting what you getting? I pray to God that I could have the whole body of Christ here. Why? Because I'm an apostle with doctrine that need to be straightened out in the church. Communion is not just a physical act, but it is a spiritual what? Transaction. It's switching. Now look what Jesus said, some of the things Jesus said, and we'll take communion. John chapter 6. I got some things marked here. In the 31st verse, Jesus was trying to talk to him about believing. They said the 31st verse, our father did eat manna in the desert. He's talking about the first man over there. As it's written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Yeah, it was a heavenly transaction. But notice what Jesus said. Then Jesus said to them, very, very, I say unto you, verse 32, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my father gives you the true bread from heaven. Verse 32, you with me?
Yes, sir.
Verse 33, for the bread of God is he which coming down from heaven and give us what?
Life.
Who are you talking about?
Jesus.
That's how he did it. For God so loved the world was fulfilled right here. For the bread of God is he which coming down from heaven and give his life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. See, but they're still in the natural. See, that's coming from before the communion table. You know, you're a Christian. You got a right to come. And yeah, you come twitching up to the table now. You come in, I got a right to take my communion. I know Jesus. You don't know what you're doing. Like a man in a race car don't know how to drive. It's not natural driving in a race car. Taffy Dollar want to see how it was. You know, and you know, you got mean, so Taffy, Cruffalo took her down to the racetrack and put her in a real race car. She said, go for it now. She took off, and I think that's, she took off in it. She won't go fast. Cruffalo said, you really won't go fast? She's driving a race car, it's not a driving a street car. When you stand up today, you're about to drive a race car. You know, you may come to a stink that he says, you know, man, I really might not have never took communion like I was supposed to take it. You wouldn't dare say that loud, you know. How many of you have been an eye-opener to you some things have been said?
Oh, yes.
How many of y'all appreciate it?
Yes, sir.
How many of y'all want me to keep on teaching you? I'll do it.
Yes, sir.
I'll do it. So. Ooh, I feel anointing, boy. When you're ignorant, you attract attacks. That's why he's going around seeking at the roaring lion, seeking whom he may ruin. Because there are some people who are not ignorant of communion. You just can't stop by their house and drop off anything. Yeah, I know. I want to go back to a verse that might nail something for you. Because the church become materialistic. The church won't start buying and selling in the church. Church members get hot when they got something to sell and you won't let them sell it. That's why Jesus took that whip. They wasn't picking up an offering. They was conniving, selling those sacrifices and selling them at a high price. And they made his house a house of merchandise. Members, don't y'all come here and get high with me. This church, don't y'all buy nothing from nobody here. This is not a sale. We come here to get Christ. We ain't come here to be buying no pamphlets and all that stuff. You sell it. When they offer to sell you something, say, didn't pastor tell us you don't supposed to be selling nothing here? Now, let me show it to you in the scripture. Go back to verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracle, but because you did eat of the loaf and was filled." That's a material scripture. You're not seeking me because of who I am. You're seeking me only for what I can do for you. And that's why, you know, you can't, and I'm going to touch at this one more time. Can I touch it one more time? That's why you can't bring your pet project here, show it to me, and expect me to help you sell it. I ain't no salesman. I'm here to do just what I'm doing now. You go do that business somewhere else. You ain't got to do it here. You ain't be putting no pamper on my people. Call out here. This ain't Walmart. That's right. You can get hot if you want. Just go on to another church. I don't care. But I mean, you ain't selling nothing here. Say, well, you sell. Yes. You know why? It's my ministry. It's my assignment. And I'm trying to get the material to people. And I know if I give it to them, they're not going to read it. My ministry is not based on no product sale. I can take all that stuff up. Forget about it right now. But I leave it out there for the body of Christ to keep flowing. And I got a right to sell it. This is not your ministry. You go find your own ministry to sell it then. Now let me go back. I said I wasn't gonna mess with nobody today. Watch the scripture. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracle, not because you want spiritual things, but because you did eat of the loaf and was filled. You just want what you can get out of me." That's what he's saying. All right, let me go back. Give me a few more minutes. Now, I'm all in my case, you know. Yeah, yeah. Now watch now. Verse 634. "Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread." Now, you understand bread, we're talking about a different form of bread now. We're talking about spiritual, right? They're looking for physical. Or they're looking for even supernatural bread to eat. But when Jesus talking about eating my body, somebody says, "Man, this preacher going plumb crazy." You know, he called Jesus a preacher, you know. "This boy gone plumb crazy. He talking about we can eat his body and drink his blood. This is a lunatic preacher. He lost his mind." Why? Why? Why would they say that? They in another realm. They can't understand what he's saying. See, the understanding, the mystery, and the secret are in the mind of God. And the Holy Spirit is the only one who can take you in the mind of God. Yes, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who perish, but to us who say it. Believe is the power of God. See, it's a transition. When you believe, it takes you somewhere else. Communion is foolish to those who don't understand, but to us who believe, communion is connected to the cross. It is the power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know if I preach you happy, boy, but I preach myself happy. Because I know I'm telling the body of Christ what they need to hear. By the help of the Holy Ghost. Can I read a few more verses? See, believing make the transition. For the preaching of the cross is foolishness. They don't believe. To those who perish. I'm not perishing. The Bible said, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should what? Not Not perish. But to not perish, I got to do what? Believe. See, what the community tell you, how to stop going to hell and how to stop having hell. It's victory in both worlds. But you got to understand spiritually what you're doing. Children, you understand what I'm saying? We're going to march boldly today, partner. Oh, yes, we got divine backup today. When them boys bring them trade out to the day, boy, what? Oh, our day, open it up, open it up. Because we get to understand, I believe, when you take that, I believe that Jesus died for me and redeemed me from the curse of the law. That's why he says, often you take it. Take it real often if you don't understand yet. Keep taking it. Verse 35. Jesus said to him, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. I think of the scripture, blessed are they who do hunger. I understand that scripture now. And thirsty after righteousness shall be filled. Remember Jesus talking to Beatitude? This is what he's talking about. He said, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. My God. But I say unto you that that ye also have seen me and believe not. Oh, that's the problem. See, they don't believe, see. Come on, let me read you a few more scriptures here. Verse 41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Why? Why did they murmur? In the natural. Why? Why? Give me another word. What? Huh? Wrong rim. Why? Come, give me another word. Why? Huh? They didn't believe that he was the Son of God. He was the answer to the whole scenario. So they murmured. See, they murmured. Murmuring is another form of meditation. You got that, Junior? Another form of meditation. You're meditating on the negative side. Pastor always, now he ain't let us sing. The church people come here to hear me sing. Ain't nobody said that, but I'm just, you know. Look at verse 44. I'm not going to try to preach the whole Bible today, but look at verse 44. No, now see, you can't get there. No man can come to me except the Father which have sent me. Draw him. Draw him. How the Father draws in the spirit realm. I'll raise him up to the last day. All right, verse 48. We've got to finish reading now. Verse 48. I am that bread of life. Your father did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. That's why I told you I'm the bread of life. I ain't a bread of 2 days. I'm the bread of life. See, I'm the bread of life. So you know what I'm saying? You're all right. This is the bread which coming down from heaven, verse 50, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Good God Almighty. Good God Almighty. Say it, good God Almighty. Look at verse 51. I am the living bread, so it must be dead bread. Y'all gonna eat some dead bread today? Yeah, y'all gonna eat some dead bread today. Who are you eat bread? Don't you know you eat bread? Raise your hand. That's dead bread. I tell you, you won't be a dead, talk to it. Say, hello, bread. How you doing today? I am the living bread which came down from heaven. Notice that now. If any man, watch this now, eat of this bread, what? He shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh. Now when he said that, the boy said, oh! But this is what he was talking about. This the table. I'm going to lay down on it and let them nail me. They don't know what they're doing, but I'm preparing a meal for you that you can have eternal life. That's what he was saying. My flesh is the bread. That's what I said. Thank you. That's what I thought. Thank you, sister. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody ought to be saying thank you. I can't hardly take it no more now. Verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Another realm now. Another realm. Look, we said, Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, ooh, wait a minute, you see this? Verse 57, come on, everybody with me? As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, and I live by the Father. The Father is my substance of life. Jesus said, I'm your substance of life. I live. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Where there's no sickness. Because when you understand this, you move into a heavenly position. In heaven, there's no sickness, no lack. So when you live in him, you're moving in heaven ahead of time. I ain't like Montreal now. When you understand this, you move into a heavenly position that can handle anything. Because in him, I live. In him, I move. In him. We'll take up next Sunday. Stand on your feet. My. Based on the teaching, if you're here and you have not accepted Christ, or you don't have a church home to teach you properly and flow in the things of God, I just need you to come to the altar. If you want to be born again, you need church home.